Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we are a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a handshake still means something.
GX on Agriculture with Rod McDonald.
And good afternoon. It's 17 after 12, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of GX on Agriculture. Coming up on the program here today, well, I've been busy this morning trying to figure out what happened over the past week while I was away, of course, enjoying a vacation in the Caribbean. But, you know, I did bring some warmer temperatures back with me, certainly still a little bit below normal for this time of year, but a lot closer than it has been over the last couple of weeks here. So that's some good news. Coming up today, we'll tell you about a couple of conferences coming up in the not-too-distant future. One, in fact, happening tomorrow in Brandon. It's the fifth annual Assiniboine River Basin Initiative Conference. I spoke with Wanda McFadden about that this morning. She's the executive director of the Assiniboine River Basin Initiative. She'll tell us what sort of discussions will take place in Brandon over the next couple of days with that conference. Also, chatting this morning with Yorkton agronomist Tom Weir, and there's a conference coming up at St. Mary's Cultural Center March 7th, all about precision agriculture. So Tom will fill us in on that coming up on the program today as well. And Adam Puccolo, commodity futures advisor with PI Financial, will be along. I try to figure out what's happening with the wheat and canola futures so far this month. In a nutshell, they've been trending down. We'll try to find out why and if that situation is likely to change. First, though, the Agriculture Weather Outlook. It's a presentation of Yorkton Raymore and Watrous New Holland and Sean Prahika, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
And time now for Precision Weather with meteorologist Phil Spivak. Phil, I had to go away to find some warm weather last week in Jamaica, but we might find, well, I'll see some warmer weather. It's not going to be on a Jamaica standard, but for Western Canada, maybe we might even get close to normal.
Yeah, I mean, if you wait 4 or 5 months, you could get some of those really warm temperatures. But in the meantime, in the near term, we'll push for only slightly below average. And I think after the cold stretch that we've had, slightly below average is definitely an improvement. Temperature today is a little below average. We'll climb up to around minus 14 at peak this afternoon. The problem, though, today is there is still a bit of a wind. Southwest wind, 14 to 24. It's picked up a little bit through the late morning, and it'll hold through the afternoon. A few gusts upwards of 30 as well. So the wind chill, even as the temperature climbs into the middle minus teens, the wind chill stays well down through the minus 20s. Through the later daytime, though, and through tonight, that wind is going to diminish down to around 10 kilometers per hour, even under that for a good portion of the night. So not as much of a wind chill factor tonight, mainly clear sky, low minus 24. Sunshine tomorrow is going to mix with a bit of cloud cover. Look for a high up to around minus 11. Looks like that is going to be the warmest day of the stretch. That's about 4 degrees below average, but, you know, every little bit helps. There is a storm system coming in from the west. It's a collapsing system. There's still this strong ridge of high pressure that's in control. It's been spread out from central Canada across into the central eastern U.S. There's another high that's sitting over northwestern Canada. And in between, we've got the occasional buckle, allowing a little bit of a system to come through, and that's what happens Wednesday night. A fairly strong storm system is getting organized in the central U.S., extending a little bit of a front up along the Rockies and then cutting across primarily central but toward eastern Saskatchewan. It's close enough that we're going to get a little bit of cloud cover from it through the day tomorrow. we may see a few flurries hold together, but because of the strength of this overall high, moisture that comes in is going to really be squeezed out, dried out, leaving us just some clouds around. We'll think a few flurries are possible through the night, tomorrow night, but again, the better chance is going to be over central and western portions of the province, not even much climbing at all toward western Manitoba. During the night, minus 22 tomorrow night, the wind will pick up just a bit, and it'll stay around 10 to 20 through the day on Thursday with a mixture of cloud and sunshine, minus 14. I mentioned that tomorrow at minus 11 is the warmest day, but we're not far from that to close the week. Sunshine Friday near minus 12 with a high overhead, very light wind on Friday. And the weekend, starting out dry, partly sunny sky with a high minus 13. There will be some cloud cover and likely a few more flurries cutting through on Sunday.
All right, thanks, Phil. Now, this hour's temperature roundup, minus 16 in the Paw. Swan River, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, minus 17 degrees, minus 15 in Dauphin, minus 19 in Brandon, along with Regina, minus 21 for Shoal Lake and Russell, Roblin, 22, minus 20 in Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, joining Swan River at minus 17 degrees and Indian Head at 20 once again. In the Yorkton-Melville region, it's sunny. The wind is southwest 23 to 35, relative humidity 66%. Our temperature now minus 17, giving us a wind chill of minus 28. Yesterday's high and low, minus 17 and minus 25. Normals would be daytime highs minus 7, overnight lows minus 18. Warmest place in the province yesterday, Buffalo Narrows, got up to minus 13. And the coldest place in Saskatchewan, Key Lake, minus 43. In Manitoba, Sprague, minus 11. And Lynn Lake was the Manitoba cold spot at minus 36. Sunrise this morning, 7:56. The sun will set this evening at 6:11. And again, our current temperature is minus 17. Bit of a breeze, though, giving us a wind chill of minus 28. It's 12:24. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. We have AgriView coming up next. Had a nice chat this morning with Tom Weir, Yorkton agronomist Tom Weir. It's not rocket science, but farmers are using space-age technologies to maximize results with the crops they grow. Weir says farmers are invited to attend a conference on precision agriculture coming up March 7th at St. Mary's Cultural Center in Yorkton.
In response to a number of questions about, precision ag and what it's all about and what are different companies offering, the Ministry of Agriculture and Yorkton Ag Information decided to put on a conference to sort of address those questions. We've invited all the major players in the area that work in precision ag to the conference, and I guess precision ag we're looking at it quite broadly. We've divided it into three areas. We've got variable rate technology, we've got tools to aid in scouting, and we've got data management. So we've invited a number of companies to come in, and each one is going to give a short presentation on a panel for each of those three topics, and then we'll have some question and answer after that.
Weir says they also have a couple of other speakers lined up.
We've got Dr. Alan Moulin from Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in Brandon, who's going to make a presentation on variable rate nitrogen application, a study that he worked on for a couple of years. And then we've also got Michael Rain, the editor of the Western Producer, coming in. And he also is a farmer, and he's going to talk on where will technology take farms and farming.
The Precision Ag Conference runs from 8:30 to 4:30, March 7th. Again, it's being held at St. Mary's Cultural Center in Yorkton. Cost to attend, $15. Lunch will be provided. Pre-registration is required prior to March 4th. Call Saskatchewan Agriculture at 306-786-1531 to register. Weir says the premise of precision agriculture goes back almost a quarter of a century.
With the advent of GPS and guidance, and so scientists started looking at the whole thing and saying, how can we use this technology for in agriculture? So the initial work was done with fertilizers, and since then it's grown. Precision Ag has taken in data management, which is a big growth area right now, where a lot of companies are getting involved with taking the data from all the sensors that a farmer has going on in his equipment and trying to manage them and utilize them for to get able to get information back and utilize it in his farming operation. And then another area is just the whole concept of using imagery to help scout your fields.
My guest is agronomist Tom Weir. The Saskatchewan Water Security Agency recently released its first spring runoff forecast. It says the Yorkton area can expect below normal runoff. I asked Tom how that will affect seeding this spring.
I think locally we're in good shape. We had the moisture last fall, which, although it wasn't extensive, we did get moisture in that October time period. And so we went into freeze-up in decent shape. And then on top of it, our snow cover, our stubble's full right now. So I think we're going to be all right unless we get some really abnormal conditions. I think field conditions are going to be pretty good.
An area of concern will likely be those areas mainly in the south that were facing a moisture deficiency heading into winter.
That's right. And I guess, you know, we've never lost a crop in February. I think March and April are critical for getting moisture. And then May, June is also critical once the crop's in. But I think we're in pretty good shape this side of the province. Again, you know, the drier areas, southwest Saskatchewan and into Alberta, there's some concerns and definitely in those areas.
Again, that's agronomist Tom Weir. Once again, a Precision Ag Conference is scheduled March 7th, St. Mary's Cultural Center in York. Then it goes from 8:30 to 4:30 that day. There is a $15 cost to attend, but that does include your lunch. Pre-registration required prior to March 4th. Call Saskatchewan Agriculture's Yorkton Regional Office at 306-786-1531 to do that. It's a little after 12:30 now, and time for Ag Review. A presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, AgriView.
The cold took its toll on rail grain shipments in Grain Week 28. CN and CP Rail supplied a combined 65% of hopper cars ordered, down from 87% the previous week. CN's performance remained below the 90% threshold for the second consecutive week, supplying 68% of cars ordered. CP's performance declined week over week, supplying 60% of cars ordered, compared to 88% in the prior week. CN and CP combined entered Grain Week 29, with 2,529 outstanding cars, a net 78% increase from the previous week. A top CN executive has called a Manitoba rancher to apologize after one of the company's trains derailed and spilled oil on his land. CN spokesperson Jonathan Abacasis says CN Executive Vice President Sean Finn spoke directly with Jamie Corr yesterday, and they discussed how to remedy damages stemming from Saturday's derailment. Corr, who had initially complained that the company ignored him for 2 days after the derailment, says the call went well. He says the spill occurred on an oxbow up the Assiniboine River that still holds water, and he says he uses the oxbow to water his cattle in the summer. Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association says it supports the action taken by the Saskatchewan government and others to oppose the imposition of a carbon tax. by the federal government. Wheat Growers President Levi Wood says a carbon tax would hurt farmers. He notes Saskatchewan grain is sold into the global market, and the imposition of a carbon tax would make our grain less competitive. He says the Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association believes the coalition opposing the federal carbon tax is the right and necessary step. Wood says farmers have been leaders with many environmentally friendly practices such as no-till planting, fewer crop inputs, better water management, and fuel-efficient equipment. He says the federal plan doesn't acknowledge the carbon sequestering and other steps the ag community has already taken. Not a lot of positive market developments for wheat or canola futures so far this month. Adam Pacalo is a commodity futures advisor with PI Financial in Winnipeg.
We've seen Chicago wheat on the March futures down about 27 cents in the last three trading days. Kansas City in that time is down around the same. Minneapolis is actually holding up a little bit better, but it's still down close to that 18 cents. Last week on Thursday, we saw a bearish export sales number with export sales coming in at 131,200 tons for the current marketing year and 30,200 for the next marketing year. So as of January 3rd, cumulative wheat sales stand at about 65.8% of the USDA's forecast for current, the 2018-2019 marketing year. And the average is typically close to that 77.7%. So actually, we're behind again when it comes to kind of the U.S. marketing. So I think the sentiment right now on the grain side is being a little bit hesitant to wanting to enter in, as well as we are coming up into the expiry on the March futures here on the grain. So there could be some exiting of long positions and not rebuying. So we could see that being one of the reasons why the market's going down here.
Canola futures have also been trending lower lately.
Canola on the March futures now is actually at a six-month low. So that's something to keep an eye on because we're sitting at about $475 a ton right now here, kind of mid-morning on the March. Now, that's where a lot of producers may be holding canola or waiting, and they might have to be waiting a little bit more depending on cash flow needs, things like that. That should be something that's kept in the back of the mind. What I've been kind of talking to producers about is what is also their new crop marketing plan. When I think back even about wheat in 2014, people thought we couldn't go any lower, and guess what's even since been happening in the last handful of years. It's always good to kind of keep that eye out for the next year and what your plan is.
New crop canola futures are also down.
Right now, the November futures has actually stayed in quite a sideways range, sitting at about $4.93 a ton on November. I was still looking closer and hedging around that $500 a ton, which is still a good price physically here for farms. It is something to think about on how to hedge that new crop, maybe doing some forward sales and things like that, just to make sure that you know a certain percentage is sold at a certain price. But oftentimes I find producers don't want to be very aggressive on the forward contracts because they don't want to have that production risk, and that's when possibly options and futures come into their marketing plan.
Adam Pacalo is a commodity futures advisor with PI Financial. Manitoba beef producers co-hosting the 2019 Prairie Conservation and Endangered Species Conference in Winnipeg this week. The conference, which runs today through Thursday, is held once every 3 years. This year's theme is Working Landscapes, and brings landowners, cattle producers, scientists, consultants, educators, and nature enthusiasts together to talk about ways the environment, wildlife, and working farms are linked in the preservation of biodiversity across the prairie grasslands. Manitoba Beef Producers General Manager Brian Lemon says cattle producers play a significant role in saving grassland habitat from being lost. The grazing, now done by cattle, was once the domain of buffalo that roamed the tall grass and short grass prairies, and it's this grazing which enables many plant and wildlife species to exist. Lemon says if today's cattle production was not preserving grasslands, overgrowth, or other crop production would take place instead. And that would result in the loss of habitat for endangered birds and other wildlife. Grassland preservation also reduces greenhouse gas emissions. Those lands act as a carbon sink, as well as a means to mitigate floods through water retention and ensure the water reaching lakes and rivers is cleaner. The Canadian Cattlemen's Association says Canada's ambassador to Japan stressed the need for a steady supply to position Canadian beef in the Japanese marketplace. The beef lobby group says it met with Ian Burney in Calgary recently, along with other officials, to discuss opportunities under the Comprehensive and Progressive Trans-Pacific Partnership. The association says it shared industry efforts to address restraints, such as workforce challenges in the processing sector. Cattlemen's Association Executive Vice President Dennis Laycraft noted 75% of Canada's beef currently goes to the U.S., but he anticipated in 5 years' time about 50% of Canadian product could be going to Asia. And land near Riding Mountain National Park in Manitoba is being protected because of a family's donation of property in memory of their late brother. The Bob Mickelson Conservation Lands cover almost 170 hectares of grassland, wetlands, forests, and a lake, all home to many different species of plants and wildlife, including 17 national species at risk. The Nature Conservancy of Canada says Bob Mickelson was a longtime resident in the Roblin area and enjoyed riding his horses through the diverse landscapes on his property. The Nature Conservancy says the land has been used for cattle grazing for more than 30 years, and that will continue. And that is today's Ag Review. It's 20 before 1 now. We have the Livestock Market Report next. The Livestock Market Report is brought to you today by Patterson Agriculture.
Livestock Market Conditions.
April live cattle, 128.75. That's up $1.57 this afternoon. June live cattle, 118.87, up 80 cents. March feeder cattle, 144.37, up $1.77. April feeder cattle, 146.60, up $1.37. April lean hogs, 56.52, down $3. And May lean hogs, 65.45, also down $3. And those are the latest U.S. livestock futures. We'll check the grain prices coming up here in about 7 minutes from now at 10 to 1.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we are a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a handshake still means something.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. The Canadian Global Affairs Institute says Canada's lobbying efforts for ratification of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Free Trade Agreement have shifted to prominent Democrats. Colin Robertson is vice president of the Canadian Global Affairs Institute. He tells us where the process stands.
In his State of the Union, the president announced that he would be introducing legislation that would implement the new United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, but he didn't set a date. The International Trade Commission was originally to report back on its assessment of the implications of the agreement for the U.S. economy by the middle of March, but with the government shut down for almost a month in December into January, the 34 days have been added to the time that they need to do their consideration. So I don't think we can expect to see the International Trade Commission report until mid-March, and that's a necessary step before Congress will look at the implementing legislation. And that closure of government also meant that the legislative drafters were probably not at work. So I think we're we're probably looking to late March, April, perhaps May, before the president would introduce the implementing legislation. And then from a Canadian perspective, the first thing we have to do is to assure that the legislation accurately reflects the agreement that we signed, because with Donald Trump, you have to be absolutely sure that he's following what we both think we agreed to. It will be introduced to the House Ways and Means Committee in the House of Representatives, and the change there is that the Democrats are now the majority party in the House of Representatives, and so Chairman Richard Neal from Massachusetts will look at that agreement with the chair of the Trade Committee, who is from Washington State. And Nancy Pelosi and Chairman Neal have said that they're not necessarily satisfied with the agreement as it is drafted. They want to have stronger enforcement provisions around the environment and labor. And what that actually means in practice, we'll have to wait and see. There is the possibility that Speaker Pelosi could do what she did in 2008 with another trade agreement. I think this was the one of the trade agreements the United States has with the Latin American countries, and they lifted the authority that the president had been granted, called Trade Promotion Authority. And under that authority, when the legislation is introduced in the Congress, it's subject to an up or down vote. That is, you can't amend it in either the House or the Senate. You simply vote yay or nay. But there is the potential for Nancy Pelosi, as Speaker of the House, to lift the application of the Trade Promotion Authority, therefore allowing amendments to the implementing legislation, which could potentially have the effect of changing the agreement itself. Now, from a Canadian and Mexican perspective, that's exactly where we don't want to be, because it, in a sense, means you're in double jeopardy. Not only have you negotiated with the administration, but then you'd have to turn around and negotiate with Congress. But as always, the devil is in the detail, and we'll have to see exactly what it is the Democrats would want to amend. If they want to strengthen the labor provisions and the environmental provisions, it may well be something that Canada could live with, because throughout the negotiations, Canada was pushing the United States to be more vigilant when it came to the application of environmental and labor provisions. We have done that consistently in trade negotiations with other countries, as well as the United States and Mexico. We did this in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We also did it in the Canada-Europe Trade Agreement. So what we're waiting for now is first the International Trade Commission report, and then the introduction of the implementing legislation by the president. And it begins in the House of Representatives in the Ways and Means Committee, with the Trade Subcommittee looking at the legislation. And then we'll get a better sense as to where the Democrats might be coming from. There, it doesn't seem that there'd be a problem in the Senate, where the Republicans still have a majority. But first it goes to the House of Representatives. In the case of Mexico, the government of President López Obrador has a majority in both the upper and lower chamber of the Mexican legislature. But I think he is likely to wait until the legislation is introduced before moving in the Mexican legislature. And I think on Canada's part, I don't think we're likely to move with our implementing legislation until we've seen the American legislation introduced as well. Now, that will perhaps mean that the legislation in Canada doesn't get introduced until after our election. So it would be the next government that would introduce the legislation.
And that's Colin Robertson. He's vice president of the Canadian Global Affairs Institute. It's coming up on 10 to 1 now, and it is time for The Green Prices, a presentation of Ray Nordine, your REMAX Blue Chip Realty Ag Specialist.
Commodities Update.
Well, grain prices down across the board this afternoon. March canola trading at $472.90 a metric ton. That's down $2.90 from this past Friday's close. May canola, $481.60, down $3.20. March, Minneapolis wheat, 557 and three quarters a bushel, down 15 and a quarter. March, Kansas City wheat, 463 and a half, down 13 cents. March, Chicago wheat, 491 a bushel, down 13 and a quarter. March corn, 369 and three quarters, down 5 cents. March soybeans, 898 a bushel, that's down 9 and a half. And March oats, 272 and a quarter, down 3 and a half cents. And those are the latest grain prices.
Farm Bulletin Board.
Well, the annual Steaks and Stems Producer Appreciation Night is coming up on Thursday night. Being held at St. Mary's Cultural Center in Yorkton. Kicks off with registration at 5:30. Some entertainment as well. The roast beef supper follows at 6:30. Then a special guest speaker at 7:30. Now, the registration deadline to attend that has passed. It was this past Friday, but I always say it doesn't hurt to check. Make a phone call and check. You can contact the Yorkton Regional Office of Saskatchewan Agriculture at 786-1531. See if they can squeeze in one more, or whatever the case is, for the Steaks and Stems Producer Appreciation Night. Perhaps you have to miss the supper or something to that effect. I don't know if they've confirmed their numbers for the supper. That's usually why they require a pre-registration for these kind of events. But if you don't mind maybe coming after the supper or something to that effect, but you never know until you try the call. So again, that's Steaks and Stems Producer Appreciation Night, Thursday evening at St. Mary's Cultural Center in Yorkton. Always a great time, so check that out. Again, that number, if you want to check whether it's too late to arrange to attend, 306-786-1531. The fifth annual Assiniboine River Basin Initiative Conference will be held tomorrow through Thursday at the Victoria Inn Hotel and Conference Center in Brandon. The conference, expected to bring over 120 representatives from North Dakota, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba together. Wanda McFadden is executive director of the Assiniboine River Basin Initiative, a not-for-profit corporation that represents the interests of stakeholders across the Assiniboine River Basin.
Our mandate is to work transboundary with organizations and stakeholders in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and North Dakota in the Qu'Appelle, Souris, and Assiniboine sub-basin. So sharing information, knowledge, bringing people together to talk about water and what it means to their communities. So, for example, on Thursday morning, we have Doug Griffiths as our keynote, and he's engaged with 13 Ways to Kill Your Community. And Doug is going to be providing us with an overview of water and how it relates back to communities economically as well as building resiliency. And that will be followed with a three-city panel where fellows from the city of Minot, the city of Brandon, and the city of Yorkton will be presenting overviews of what they're doing and then getting into some panel discussion on how they're looking forward to the future and building resiliencies in their communities.
McFadden says there will be a second keynote address to kick off the Assiniboine River Basin Initiative Conference tomorrow morning.
Bob Sanford, who is engaged with the United Nations Climate File and Environment File, will be our keynote speaker tomorrow, leading through with Dr. Danny Blair from the Prairie Climate Center and Dr. Hank Venema, talking about the economic impact of climate and water on the prairie landscape. So looking for a really good morning. After lunch, we'll have updates from various organizations and agencies across the basin, as well as hearing about aquifers and groundwater and some of the work that's going on with the global water future. So going to be a busy day tomorrow as well, so we're looking forward to that. And it's going to be complemented with tours of the City of Brandon's new wastewater treatment facility.
The theme for the Assiniboine River Basin Initiative Conference is Building Resiliency, Accepting Change from Floods to Drought. Again, that conference goes tomorrow and Thursday at the Victoria Inn Hotel and Conference Center in Brandon. Earlier in the program, we heard from agronomist Tom Weir telling us about a conference coming up at St. Mary's Cultural Center in Yorkton on Thursday, March 7th. It's a Precision Ag Conference, Space Age Technologies for Today. It's an all-day affair, kicking off with registration at 8:30 in the morning. Again, that's Thursday, March 7th and then the program continues through until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There is a lunch included in that as well. There's a nominal cost to attend, $15, basically to cover the lunch, I anticipate. Pre-registration is required prior to March 4th, and you can do that by contacting Saskatchewan Agriculture's Yorkton Regional Office at 306-786-1531. Again, that's a Precision Ag Conference coming up on March the 7th, and it'll be held at St. Mary's Cultural Center in Yorkton. I think that's about everything we had on the Farm Bulletin Board for today. So we'll close out our program with GX94's precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Moosomin, Indian Head, Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, and Russell regions. Partly to mainly sunny this afternoon. Wind, southwest 15 to 25. High near minus 14. And that wind still giving us some rather serious wind chills, though, down in the minus 27 range this afternoon. Clear tonight, southwest breeze 10 to 15, overnight low minus 24, giving wind chills in the minus 36 range. A mix of sun and cloud tomorrow. Wind variable, high minus 11. Again, a mix of sun and cloud Thursday. Wind northwest 10 to 20, high minus 14. Friday, mainly sunny, up to minus 12. Partly sunny on Saturday, and our daytime high around minus 13. On the temperature roundup this hour, minus 16 degrees in the Paw, Swan River, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, minus 17, minus 15 in Dauphin, minus 19 in Brandon, along with Hudson Bay, 21 this hour for Shoal Lake Russell, minus 22 in Roblin, Regina in there at minus 19, Saskatoon, Broadview, Moosomin, minus 18 degrees, it's minus 20 in Indian Head. In the Yorkton-Melville region, mainly sunny, the wind southwest 20 to about 35, relative humidity 66%, temperature minus 17, and with the wind chill, minus 28 degrees. I think that's about everything we have for today. Of course, we'll be back again tomorrow afternoon at 12:15 for GX on Agriculture, so I hope you'll join me then. I'm Rod MacDonald.